From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, this is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome to This Week. And this week, look under your cupboards, look in your cupboards, under the bed, behind the sofa, that space that just seems to mount up with clothes or towels or old wine coolers and garden shoes of one, two. Look everywhere. Find those toys you never threw out or you never got rid of after you got rid of the kids. All those darn cars that you used to step on in the middle of the night, letting the cat in, or out, or up, or down. Get out of it, you stupid moggy. Look everywhere. Why, I hear you ask? Because they could be worth a small fortune is why. I had many cars that were worth a fortune. Had, as in when I was eight. I'm no longer eight. In fact, I'm eight nothing. Except, of course, what I ate last night. But anyhow, keep looking. Don't stop. Well, stop and listen to this. But then go back to looking. Mini cars are in your collection. You will hear all about it this week in 30 Laps. Also this week, all that car jargon from the 30 Laps Interactive Library, the lowdown on the hire purchase and lease terms we all struggle with. So this week, little cars, big prices, the finance jargon, and the car subscription. All over the place as usual, this week in 30 Laps. So, without any more ado, let's get cracking. And this week we start with motoringresearch.com and a small piece by Ethan Jupp from the 8th of January 2020. Matchbox toy car collection sells for £300,000. It's English, you know. Anyway, an incredible 3,000-strong collection of Matchbox Toys cars was sold for $300,000, which in Australian dollars is $573,000. The owner, founder and chairman of H&H Classics, Simon Hope, has built his 1-76 model collection over six decades. All cars are immaculate, or very close, Simon says. He wasn't keen on rough play with them when younger. They were treasured, packaging and all, over the course of his time collecting. The full set is considered one of the most complete in the world, including some of the rarest cars. Simon's Simon's collection started as a boy, with Christmas and birthday presents from family members. As he got older, however, he discovered the value of these motoring trinkets that said he simply bought the models he wanted in the best condition he could. The collection was sold over the course of three sales with an auction house in North Yorkshire. It was only when I got older that I realised there was actually a collecting scene out there and information on rarer versions and colours, Simon said. I never took part in that scene, preferring simply to track down the ones I wanted in perfect, or as near as possible, condition. It just grew, and generally they were bought with amounts of money not missed at the time. Today, some of these cars fetch four figures. Highlights of his collection include a lime green ERF dropside lorry that made £7,000 on its own. A green Ford kennel truck brought home £3,200, and a white Ford Mustang made £12,100. There's a big market out there for items like this, particularly the models from the 1970s, as these things do tend to be generational. said Julian Rose, a specialist. We find the demand far outstrips the supply, and as such, people will be very keen to get their hands on pieces which may not come up again in their lifetimes. This collection was astounding and probably had the biggest range of any I've seen. And that came from motoringresearch.com. Magic Matchbox toy car collection sells for £300,000, and it was written by Ethan Jupp. And now we move to, well, actually we stay with Motoring Research for this week, and we move to a piece by Gavin Braithwaite-Smith, Jargon Buster, Your Guide to New and Used Car Finance. Thanks to cheap car finance, it's never been easier to buy a new or used vehicle. Hire purchase and lease deals in particular have been at the forefront of a boom period for car finance. You may be puzzled by the finance jargon when sat with the salesperson at the showroom, but help is at hand. If you're bamboozled by balloon payments and confused by conditional sales, our guide to car finance jargon will clear the further fog. Before you read any further, be sure to check out our essential guide to the most popular car finance options, which we're going to tell you about at some stage. The following guide to car finance has been put together with the help of the Finance and Leasing Association. So, if you're about to buy or thinking of buying a vehicle on finance, dear listeners, this is right up your alley. The administration fee or documentation fee is the charge for setting up the finance and issuing the relevant documents. It will be included in the total amount payable and taken into account when the annual percentage rate is calculated. Agreement term or length of the agreement. That is the length of time over which you agree to repay your car finance. The annual percentage rate. The annual cost of financing an agreement over and above the amount you have borrowed on finance. The cost will include interest rate charges and any other fees. The annual percentage rate, or APR, can be used to compare different finance products. Annual mileage. You'll be asked to estimate your annual mileage, as this helps the lender to calculate the market value at the end of the contract. Don't underestimate the figure, as you will be charged excess mileage at the end of the finance contract. B for bad credit history. If a customer has a record of repayment issues, this will be classed as bad credit history. Although there are specialist lenders for customers with poor credit score, the cost of borrowing is likely to be much higher. The balance financed. The amount you need to borrow is the cost of the car, less a deposit or part exchange allowance, which is less a deposit or a trade in Australian terms. Balloon payment, the lump sum deferred to at the end of the deal or similar. If paid, you will own the car. In most cases, the balloon payment is optional, but check before you sign any agreement. Cashback, very important. An amount refunded to the customer which is not required for a deposit. Cashback is often used as an incentive. Conditional sale. The sale of the vehicle is conditional on the customer completing the terms of agreement. The customer will automatically own the car at the end of the agreement. Which means credit agreement. What's that all about? Well, it's a legally binding contract between the customer and the finance company. It will include the loan amount, the term, the rate of interest, and the customer's rights and responsibilities. Credit rating. That's part of a scoring system used by finance companies when deciding how to price the risk of your finance and the suitable interest rate. I'm Richard Lyon. This is 30 Laps with Dick. And we're 10 minutes into our journey today, talking about motor vehicle finance jargon, because wherever you buy, there's always a little bit of suspicion.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care. Oh, you keep on saying you really, really, really love me.
Okay, thanks, Elvis. We get the gist. Back to this exciting story, hey? Joint application. J for joint application. When two or more people apply for car finance, it's called a joint application. Lease purchase is a form of hire purchase in which the sum is deferred until the end of the contract. The sum isn't optional and must be paid. Monthly rentals. The amount paid every month under leasing arrangements. They're not classed as repayments, as the car will be handed back to the leasing company at the end of the agreement. The offer to purchase fee, a voluntary payment which, if paid, transfers the ownership of the car to the customer. We call it stamp duty here in Australia. Personal contract purchase, PCP for short, is the guide to the personal contract purchase. And we will cover that in another nail-biting episode. Quotation. Provides an indication of the cost that would apply if you went ahead with the finance. Residual value. The projected amount of your car at the end of the finance agreement. Factors such as wear and tear, mileage and market trends may also affect the actual value. In Australia, just by the by, the residual value guidelines are set down by the Australian Taxation Office and must be paid plus our GST in order for you to own the vehicle at the end of the contract. Depreciation. The extent and rate at which a new car loses its value. Early settlement. The amount payable should a customer decide to end the finance agreement. It's called a payout in Australia. Equity. The difference between the agreed market value of the vehicle and the loan balance left to pay. If the market value is lower, the term negative equity is used. Final payment is the last repayment to be made as part of the finance agreement. This may include an option to purchase. Fixed rate interest. The same interest rate is applied for the duration of the car finance agreement. That is what happens in most vehicle agreements in Australia. The flat rate is the base interest rate charged on the finance. The figure is more accurate representation of the cost of the finance. Guaranteed Asset Protection Insurance, or GAP insurance. In the event of an accident, the insurer will pay its current market value. That's the vehicle's current market value. And the GAP insurance can cover the difference between market value and the finance left to pay. In simple terms, the price you pay for borrowing the money is called the interest, and the rate at which that's charged, of course, is called the interest rate. Monthly rentals is the amount paid every month under a leasing agreement. They're not classed as repayment. Oh, we've already talked about that, haven't we? Yep. Sorry about that, folks. And finally, because I know you're hanging off my every word, because this is pretty exciting stuff, this. The term is the length of the finance agreement. The trade value is how much the car is worth at sold, at auction, or purchased by a dealer. And an unsecured loan is a loan that isn't secured against the vehicle. And another aside, in Australia, most consumer loans, that's loans to mums and dads and folks in the street, are secured by the actual vehicle you're borrowing against. So as you can see, it's a bit of a minefield from a jargon perspective, but I've got this here. If anybody would like a copy of it, just contact the station and I'll make sure I make it available for you. It comes from Gavin Braithwaite-Smith and it was provided by motoringresearch.com, called simply Car Finance Jargon Buster. In my long history in these things, if you've got an agreement that looks very good, is the interest rate is very low, the conditions appear to be very lax, please beware, because it's the devil in disguise.
You look like an angel,
look like an angel,
walk like an angel,
walk like an angel,
talk like an angel,
but I got one.
You're the devil in disguise,
or yes you are.
Indeed, just beware of finance contracts and have somebody look it over for you would be the best advice I could give you. Talking about the stress of vehicle ownership, from the Sydney Morning Herald, February 13, comes an article by George Skintzos, a car model that takes care of everything. Take the stress out of vehicle ownership. A car subscription aims to meet the diverse needs of drivers seeking an alternative to that traditional car ownership model. Buying a car can be stressful and costly. Finding a vehicle to suit your budget is one thing, but what about the ongoing expenses you might not initially consider? The outlay for registration, insurance, maintenance, as well as depreciation is significant. Whether it's a first, replacement, or second family car. Described as car ownership for the Netflix generation, Hello Cars, that's a good name, Hello Cars lets you subscribe to drive away any car it has available for a weekly fee that starts from $99. The fee includes on-road costs such as registration, insurance, servicing and maintenance, says Hello Cars Head of Customer Experience, George Skintzos. Launched in 2015 by Sydney brothers Paul and Michael Higgins, Hello Cars is badged as Australia's first online dealership. Begun after they identified consumer demand for a more flexible and low-commitment alternative to the traditional car ownership. All the customer needs to worry about is their weekly subscription payment, fuel and tolls, he said. Hello Cars offers three levels of subscription, Economy, Cruise and Explorer. Similar to a mobile phone contract, each subscriber level has contract inclusions, terms and conditions, and benefits to suit your lifestyle. Far more accessible than buying or financing a new car, the subscription car model is not just for millennials and Gen Z. However, it's suited to the modern lifestyle of new car buyers in Australia, says Skintzos. People don't necessarily prioritise car ownership anymore. There's the plan and there's a choice of vehicle. You can match any plan with any vehicle, building a subscription that suits you and your lifestyle, he says. If you're someone who enjoys travelling and you don't want $30,000 tied up in a car that sits in your driveway unused for a month or two each year, some people subscribe to gain a second vehicle for the family. A substantial demographic for Hello Cars are now new families, he says. We have a lot of customers who are expecting their first child and currently driving a small hatchback. Typically, the most expensive time in any young family's life includes getting a bigger car and is usually a financial burden. Essentially, they could trade their current vehicle in with us, subscribe and drive away with a larger family car. It's an affordable way to make that jump to a bigger vehicle. Over the recent holiday period, we had many customers subscribing for the sake of having a larger family vehicle to go on holidays with. Whether it's a sports car in the summer or an SUV in the winter, car subscription avoids FOMO or buyer's remorse, Sketsov said. If you feel like a change of vehicle, or maybe you don't need a car at the moment, you can swap your car for something different or return it with no ongoing fees, he says. So, folks, that's something to think about. You will find a plethora of new, what they call, mobility solutions happening in this very congested market space coming up over the next few years. I'm sure you will be able to find something there that will give you everything you need as an alternative to laying out some hard-earned dough on a car that depreciates its head off the moment you drive out of the showroom. Now we have a piece from the Australian Financial Review of the 7th of February 2020. Backlash ramps up against UK's planned petrol car ban. And this is from Hans van Leeuwen, who is the AFR correspondent in the old Dart. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plan to phase out the sale of new petrol and diesel cars by 2035 hit its first roadblock as the automotive industry, road user groups and trade unions revved up an instant backlash. His critics lament the lack of plans to roll out the necessary recharging infrastructure and to ensure that there is enough electric cars both available and affordable to meet the growing demand. The charging and energy infrastructure required for mass use of electric vehicles was unready for such an ambitious date without a plan, said the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders. The extremely concerning that government has seemingly moved the goalposts for consumers and industry, said Mike Hawes, the group's chief, who described Britain's network of plug-in charging points as woefully inadequate. He suggested the supply of electric vehicles might struggle to meet the then deadline-fueled demand. With current demand for the still expensive technology still just a fraction of total car sales, it's clear that accelerating an already very challenging ambition will take more than the industry investment, he said. We need a competitive marketplace and a competitive business environment to encourage manufacturers to sell and build here. A date without a plan will merely destroy the value today. The Automobile Association, the AA, said the bottom would drop out of the market for second-hand hybrid cars, which are included in the phase-out. It's really a kick in the face for those people who thought they were doing a good thing, the Daily Telegraph's quoted Edmund King, the association's president, as saying. Mr. King also tweeted, the plan required massive increase in supply and in infrastructure, coupled with serious incentives like the AA proposal to scrap value-added tax, which is their GST, on new electric vehicles. And he told the Financial Times it was doubtful Britain would have sufficient supply of full cross-section of zero-emission vehicles in less than 15 years. Critics argued that if most buyers accepted a car has a 10-year life, then the sales of new petrol or diesel cars would probably slump from 2025, just 5 years away. They went on to say that electric vehicles were far less affordable, potentially making vehicle ownership less accessible for lower-income people. On Tuesday, Mr. Johnson said his government was being forward in the phase-out of the sales of new petrol by 5 years from 2040, with a full ban on combustion engines come 2050. The legislated date Britain must reach net zero carbon emissions. He said the deadline could even be sooner if a faster transition is feasible, but also noted his plan was subject to consultation. Trade Union Unite Assistant General Secretary Steve Turner said he supported action on climate change, but it needed a clear government-led interventionist industry strategy. The plan should include practical detailed actions to deliver a national charging network to and invest in 15-minute fast charge facilities on motorways and service stations and to standardise plug-in and charging regimes. And that was Backlash Wraps Up Against UK's Planned Petrol Ban from the AFR on the 7th of February 2020 by Hans van Leeuwen. You could almost say that they're saying to Boris, return to send it to you, mate, till you get this sorted out. And I'd like to thank Mr. Presley for helping us out in our little stories today. We have a couple of quick little car emblem stories here, little being the operative word, and so we'll start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. Arbath, which is the hotted up version of the Fiat, the Arbath Car Company, is a scorpion. And the sign represents the scorpion, which is the astrological sign of the car company founder, Carlo Arbath, 1908 to 1979. At the top is the Italian flag, and the red comes from the national racing colours of Italy. Arbath is today the sporty sub-brand of Fiat. Of course, the famous Alfa Romeo. Alfa is the acronym for Anomina Lombarda Fabbrica Automobili, while Romeo is the surname of Nicola Romeo, 1876 to 1838, the businessman who bought the company in 1915. Of the badge, the red cross on the left is the symbol of Milan, while the right is a crowned viper swallowing a Moorish man, the insignia of the House of Visconti, which historically ruled the city. We might have a couple more of those next week. A bit of fun. Thank you very much for your company today. I hope you enjoyed our story about the jargon that is motor vehicle finance and acronyms, anagrams and meanings. We gave Boris a bit of a bash in his proposed car plan. Still a bit of work to do there. Well, we didn't give him a bash. Hans van Leeuwen of the Australian Financial Review gave him a bit of a bash, but there's plenty of work to be done there. And the Matchbox cars, and the car subscription. We've been everywhere today, and we'll be everywhere again next week. I hope I can look forward to your company. I've enjoyed bringing the show to you from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. 30 Laps with Dick, I'm Richard Lyon. Until next week, bye for now.